Hello and welcome to Messiah Ministries Podcast. We are a biblical podcast that teaches the scriptures free of denominational filters. Our exegetical method is one that incorporates the history, culture, context, geography, and grammar that was present at the time of and influenced the biblical writers. I'm your host, Tim McQuillan Jr., and it's an honor to be studying the scriptures with you today. Hello everyone, I'm Tim McQuillan Jr. and I'm the host and teacher of this podcast, Messiah Ministries Podcast. Now, a little bit about me. I grew up in a Christian home in a small town outside of Toledo, Ohio. And I've always felt, ever since I was a little boy, I felt called to the ministry. And it wasn't until I had a very strong experience with the Holy Spirit a number of years back that ever since that moment, I've dedicated myself, my life, to the study and teaching of the scriptures. Now, why this podcast? What's the goal of this podcast? Well, the goal is to deliver an authentic understanding of the Bible by tying together the theological threads that are interwoven throughout the scriptures. Once we understand what the writer is trying to communicate, we can establish a sound biblical theology through which the Holy Spirit can then begin to work in our lives. The palpable growth of biblical knowledge that you will acquire from this podcast will benefit you exponentially, no matter if you're a brand new follower of Jesus or if you have been a lifelong Christian. Now, with all the podcasts out there, all the biblical podcasts, what makes this podcast different? Okay, well, what makes Messiah Ministries podcast different is our exegetical method. We incorporate the history, culture, context, geography, and grammar that was present at the time of and influenced the biblical writers. This is critical in understanding the Bible because the scriptures were not written to us. Rather, they were written for us. Therefore, in order to understand what the writer is trying to communicate, we have to understand the worldview of the writer. And not only of the writer, but of the writer's target audience. A couple examples to illustrate this point. If I say the words 9/11, everyone in America knows what that phrase means. They know what that word grouping is alluding to. It's alluding to the terrorist attacks that occurred in New York City on September 11, 2001. You can do all the word studies you want on the numbers 9 and numbers on the number 9 and the number 11. But you will never understand what the words 9/11 means to Americans. The only way you're going to understand that is if it's analyzed properly. And what it is it's an act of terrorism that happened to Americans in New York City on 9/11, 2001, that affected our entire country. And is the reason why every year on that day, we remember the people, first responders, and military members who lost their lives. Now, this event, the terrorist attack, is part of American history. Every year on that day, September 11th, we remember the people, first responders, and military members who lost their lives. This act of remembrance is part of American culture. So why do Americans remember the people, first responders, and military members who lost their lives on September 11, 2001? Well, that answer is because of the terrorist attacks that occurred on that day. The terrorist attacks that occurred on September 11th in the year 2001 provide the context as to why every year on that day, Americans remember the people, first responders, and military members who lost their lives. The terrorist attacks that occurred on that day happened in New York City, which is part of the state of New York, which is part of the United States of America. So right there is your geography element. And of course, the word 9 in English refers to the number that is after 8 and before 10. See, you're learning stuff already. And that number is also representative of the ninth month of the year, September. Okay, the month when the terrorist attacks happened. All right. So the proper grammar of the language being used also needs to be included so confusion and misinterpretation doesn't occur. So any person anywhere in the world living now or 2,000 years from now can understand what is being communicated when the word grouping, when the word phrase 9/11 is mentioned by Americans. And they can understand this if they analyze it through the lens of the history, culture, context, geography, and grammar of which it comes from. Now, a biblical example of that, the sea, S-E-A, the sea. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, we read, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." Well, you read that, and the sea is no more. Well, evidently, what John is communicating here is that in heaven, there's going to be no Atlantic Ocean and there's going to be no Pacific Ocean. What could be more clear? Well, if that's the conclusion that you're drawing, you are missing what John is trying to communicate, because you are just taking the passage at face value. Okay? You are interpreting that through your context and your lens as to what the word sea, S-E-A, means to you. It means a big, big body of water, right? The ocean. That's not how the ancient people thought about the sea. The sea is an ancient Near East chaos metaphor, okay? What do I mean by that? What does that mean? What do you do with that? Who cares? Well, the thoughts and ideas that are associated with that, with the sea, are people don't belong there. The sea is a lethal place for humans. Why? Because people don't live underwater. There are big, scary creatures in the sea that can kill you. That is where the chaos monster lives. Okay, Leviathan. The sea cannot be tamed. The sea can become violent, unprovoked. It could be a nice calm day, and then all of a sudden you have tempestuous waves that can capsize your boat. If you're miles offshore, you're not swimming ashore, you're drowning, you're dying. The sea is chaos. The sea is everything that is anti-Eden, anti-God, anti-good, anti-Yahweh. So we take that, and that is how the biblical writer is thinking of the sea. So now we take that and we read the passage again, Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. "Then I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." Well, what is John communicating when he says the sea is no more? He's saying in heaven, there's going to be no lethal threat to your existence. There's going to be nothing that is going to challenge order, that is going to challenge good. They're all evil, all supernatural evil and human evil is going to be done away with. It's not going to be there. The new heaven and new earth is going to be absolute peace. There's going to be no anxiety, no depression, no guilt, no temptation. All those things act against God's ordered creation. So that is what John is communicating when he says, and the sea was no more. Absolute peace. And the only way you're going to properly exegete that verse is if you take the history, the culture, the context, the geography, and the grammar of the writer and, well, his worldview. Now, so that's an example of it, a little preview, a little blurb of our exegetical method in action, okay, is what I'd like to present to you now. And in this little blurb, this little preview, this is the type of content that you can expect to receive from this podcast. Regarding the Passover lamb, in John chapter 19, verse 36, we read, "For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken." It's very easy to look at that and say, oh okay, so God stayed true to his word. Okay, yeah, that's true. However, why did John feel the need to write this? Why, what prompted John to comment on this observation that when the Messiah was hanging on the cross, his bones were not broken? What's happening is John is quoting Psalm chapter 34, verse 20, which reads, "He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken." And the "he" in context there is Yahweh. Okay, it's God Almighty. Psalm 34, verse 20, what we just quoted, also has a cross-reference verse of Exodus chapter 12, verse 46. And this verse is in the context of the institution of the Passover. Exodus 12, 46 reads, "It shall be eaten in one house. You shall not take any of the flesh outside of the house, and you shall not break any of its bones." So we have breaking of the bones in John, in the Psalms, and in Exodus. What's the point? The point is that this idea gets developed throughout salvation history. And we can follow the breadcrumb trail, the breadcrumb trail in this instance being the breaking of the Passover lamb's bones. Remember, we have the story of Jesus' baptism. We see John identify Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God. Why does John say the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? Why not the Messiah of God who takes away the sins of the world? Because John the Baptist is identifying Jesus to be the Passover lamb. This idea developed from Exodus 12, verse 46, through the Gospel of John, verse 19. We start out with the institution of the Passover and the rule not to break any of the bones of the Passover lamb. Why? Because the Passover lamb was to be whole, whole. It was to be without blemish. Okay, if it had a broken bone, that means it was blemished. It was not a worthy sacrifice. Why? Because it was not whole. It was not complete. Now, as time goes on throughout salvation history, we get to Psalm chapter 34, verse 20, where the psalmist tells us, regarding Yahweh, Psalm 34, verse 20, "He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken." Okay, well, if you're an Israelite at that time, you're doing the Passover sacrifice, and the psalmist now brings in the idea of, well, it's not the Passover lamb that's going to keep all his bones. Okay, they're not going to be broken, but it is this man. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Well, again, in context, well, who is this man? This man is Yahweh. He is God. God in the flesh, God in human form. Now, salvation history moves on. We get the Messiah, Jesus. We have Jesus identified as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We have the passion narrative. We see when Christ is crucified that his bones were not broken. And John comments on that in chapter 19, verse 36. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, not one of his bones will be broken. So what John just did there is he identified Jesus as God in human form. He will keep all his bones. None of his bones will be broken. Psalm 34, verse 20. Who is also the sacrifice for sin. That's just a like I said, that's just a little preview, a little blurb of the type of content and what to expect from this podcast, from Messiah Ministries podcast. As for the episode teaching, the episode release schedule for the podcast, the release schedule for the podcast will be one episode or one teaching per week that is 1 hour in length. As of right now, the teachings slated to be taught are going to be a study of the content of the Synoptic Gospels, followed by a book study of Ephesians, and then 1 Timothy. Our teaching style is section by section. What I mean by that is, take, for example, Ephesians chapter 1. There's two sections in Ephesians chapter 1. Section 1, you have greeting and spiritual blessings in Christ. That's verses 1 through 14. Section 2, you have thanksgiving and prayer. That's verses 15 through 23. So Ephesians chapter 1 is going to be covered in two teachings. Now, the teaching rubric I use for each teaching is available on the podcast website. To access it, go to www.messiahministriespodcast.com. Once there, click on the episodes tab at the top right of the home page. Once you arrive on the episodes page, scroll down, find the teaching you're looking for, and click on downloadable episode guide. When you're reading the downloadable episode guide, keep in mind that when I type that up, I type that up for me to aid me, to assist me, to help me when I teach on Sunday mornings and also when I teach on the podcast. There's going to be some miscellaneous notes in there that won't necessarily apply to any viewers, any listeners who would be reading the rubric, okay, the episode guide. The episode guide is also color-coded, and it's color-coded for ease of use. Okay, there's no need to overcomplicate something unnecessarily. So this is the color code key, and this is how you navigate the downloadable episode guide. The words in black, that's the foundation of the teaching. The words in red are the words of Christ. The words in pink are the interactive questions that I ask to the brethren during the Sunday morning teaching, but I still leave them in there in case anyone downloads the teaching to use for their own personal study or their own small group Bible study. The words in green are notes to myself, and those notes help me progress through the teaching. And side note, when you read those, it'll say something like TJ, right now, fill in the blank. TJ is me, Tim Jr. That's who he's referring to, myself. Words in blue, that denotes a pronunciation guide and my additional thoughts. You'll see superscript letters in purple. And at the very, very end, those are the sources that I use. Okay, I cite everything. You'll also find the word in all capital letters, application. That word is in white colored font, and it is highlighted in black highlighter. You can essentially disregard that when you're reading it. The reason why that is in there, that functions to assist me in producing the short clips for our various social media platforms. We're on YouTube, Instagram, and X, which of course is formerly Twitter. Now I'd like to take some time to thank the following people for helping me make this podcast a reality. And some of these people have websites to their businesses. So should you want to pursue their services, I'll be sure to click the link below in the description. First, I'd like to thank my wonderful parents, my mom and dad. Your words of encouragement, your love, your patience, your prayers are unequivocally priceless. Jesus Christ truly blessed me mightily when he placed me in your care. Without you both allowing me to present the scriptures to you, this ministry doesn't happen. Thank you, and I love you both dearly. To my beloved brethren who attend Bible study on Sunday mornings, your steadfast love, patient endurance, and allowing me to teach you the scriptures means the absolute world to me. I hope each and every single one of you know that you occupy a special place in my heart. Thank you. To my best friend, my brother, Jarrett Pelley, without you helping me through this entire process and introducing me to David Ball, I would be a car stuck in the mud, spinning my wheels. Thank you for your guidance, your knowledge, your expertise, and for always being there. And Jarrett Pelley is the owner of Canton Roofing out of Canton, Ohio. And he does everything from homes to church buildings. To David Ball, if it wasn't for all of the hard, meticulous work you and your team put into making the website, managing the website, and uploading the podcast audio to the website weekly, Messiah Ministries podcast would not exist. Thank you. And of course, David, obviously, he builds websites, but he also has another company called The Branding Monkey. If you are looking to brand yourself, okay, t-shirts, merchandise, so on and so forth. To Colby Colbus with Colbus Photography, located in Maumee, Ohio. Thank you for photographing me for my website. What makes Colby and his photography company, his business, different is that he backs up all of the photos that he takes. He puts them on a separate storage, like the cloud. So God forbid your wedding photos get destroyed in any way, shape, or form, they're not lost forever. He can go back into his archive, reprint them, and they're brand just like brand new. To my attorney, Kelly Bach, thank you for all of your legal advice, your guidance, your patience, your hard work, and for going the extra mile for me in laying the legal foundation that ensures the longevity of Messiah Ministries podcast. To Pastor David Langford, thank you for preaching an uncompromising word of God. It was your preaching that convicted me to repentance, leading me to pursue wholeheartedly God's calling on and plan for my life. May Jesus Christ continue to bless you, your ministry, and your family. Pastor David Langford has his website is thevoiceofevangelism.com. And to my mentor, the late Dr. Michael Heiser, thank you for all that you have done for the body of Christ. You are sorely, sorely missed. And with that, the introduction to Messiah Ministries podcast is concluded. Next week, we'll begin our content studies with Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. That is when John the Baptist prepares the way for the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Please like, subscribe, and follow us on YouTube, which is at Messiah Ministries Podcast. The M in Messiah in Ministries is capitalized. The P in podcast is capitalized. We are also on Instagram, Messiah Ministries Podcast. That's all one word. All of the letters are lowercase. And on X, which is formerly known as Twitter, at MMPTIMMCQUILLIN. If you feel led by the Lord to support this podcast, you can do so by clicking Support Us at the top right of the homepage of our website, www.messiahministriespodcast.com. You can listen to the podcast ad-free without interruption by going to our website and clicking on Episodes at the top right of the screen. Once you do that, you will be taken to the webpage where all of the podcast episodes / teachings are located. You can also send me your questions via email at messiahministriespodcast@gmail.com. And of course, all the letters in that web address, in the email address, is that they're all lowercase. In your email, be sure to tell me your name and where you are from. I'm looking forward to the next time we study the scriptures together. And remember, when you are studying the scriptures, think, what is the writer trying to communicate?